This morning we are in Psalm 41. So let's pray. Father, I just thank you for your faithfulness. I thank you for each one here who is so faithful to come week after week and pray. And that is the thing that we can do with the most power, because it is a spiritual battle that we're in this life. And the best weapon we have is prayer. And so I just thank you for this opportunity to maybe get centered a little bit more in you Saturday mornings and listen to what you have for us to hear from you and keep us directed, at least for today. Tomorrow we'll sense what you have for us tomorrow, but today just help us to hear from you. And so thank you for your Psalms. Thank you for your Word of God wherever we are. And now guide us and lead us in these moments together. Amen. So Psalm 41, the blessings and suffering of the godly. Again, this is a psalm of David to the chief musician, as we have had this last section in Book 1. This is the last psalm of Book 1. So it's the doxology at the very end in verse 13. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel from everlasting to everlasting. Amen and amen. That's really not part of Psalm 41, I don't think. That is the summary after 41 psalms, kind of the doxology to it. But everlasting to everlasting. Isn't that good? Amen and amen. I think that's just a beautiful way to end Book 1. So as we look at this psalm, we see it's talking about the blessings. It begins with those who consider the poor. And then the very last part of the first verse is, the Lord will deliver him. The Lord will deliver him. So I wanted to just sing this old hymn, He is able to deliver thee. Now, I couldn't find one with the vocal on it that I liked. I found some stuff, but it didn't bring me closer to the Lord. So what I have here is kind of back to the old school. I just have the accompaniment here, right? So no vocals. We are the vocal. We are the choir, right? Now, this is a Saturday morning choir we're going to hear if you participate. And if you don't participate, then it'll be kind of quiet. But the words there are on your sheet. 'Tis the grandest theme through the ages rung. So let's sing along with the accompaniment here. He is able to deliver thee. Tis the grandest theme through the ages rung. Tis the grandest theme for a mortal tongue. Tis the grandest theme that the world has sung. Our God is able to deliver thee. He is able to deliver thee. He is able to deliver thee. Though by sin oppressed, go to him for rest. Our God is able to deliver thee. 'Tis the grandest theme in the earth or main. 'Tis the grandest theme for a mortal strain. 'Tis the grandest theme, tell the world again. Our God is able to deliver thee. He is able to deliver thee. He is able to deliver thee. Though by sin oppressed, go to him for rest. Our God is able to deliver thee. Is the grandest theme, let the tidings roll to the guilty heart, to the sinful soul. Look to God in faith, he will make thee whole. Our God is able to deliver thee. He is able to deliver thee. He is able to deliver thee. Though by sin oppressed, go to him for rest. Our God is able to deliver thee. Oh, you guys are great. Did anybody record that? We ought to have that on. It sounded good. and it was meaningful, wasn't it? I mean, we didn't have the formal vocal of, you know, perfect pitch and all that, but the Lord heard. Psalm 41, blessed he who considers the poor, the Lord will deliver him in time of trouble. The Lord will preserve him and keep him alive, and he will be blessed on the earth. You will not deliver him to the will of his enemies. The Lord will strengthen him on his bed of illness. You will sustain him on his sick bed. The Lord will strengthen him, and you will sustain him. Verse 4, I said, Lord, be merciful to me. Heal my soul, for I have sinned against you. My enemies speak evil of me. When will he die and his name perish? And if he comes to see me, he speaks lies. His heart gathers iniquity to itself. When he goes out, he tells it. All who hate me whisper together against me. Against me they devise my hurt. An evil disease, they say, clings to him. And now that he lies down, he will rise up no more. Even my own familiar friend, in whom I trusted, who ate my bread, has lifted up his heel against me. But you, O Lord, be merciful to me and raise me up, that I may repay them. By this I know that you are well pleased with me, because my enemy does not triumph over me. As for me, you uphold me in my integrity and set me before your face forever. And then the doxology to book one. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel from everlasting to everlasting. Amen and amen. So we see here the first part, the first three verses, basically is God's blessing to those who are concerned for the poor or the ones who are in need or the ones who are trampled down. And this is the same construction that we have in the Beatitudes. There's no is in the original. It's not blessed is he. It's really blessed he. You could say it the other way and be right. He is blessed. But blessed he who considers the poor. So where are you in that, in your consideration of those less fortunate around you? The Lord will deliver him in time of trouble. That's a good thing. The Lord will preserve him and keep him alive. A good thing. He will be blessed on the earth. And so these are all the magnificent blessings promised to those who have really a heart for the poor, or for the widow, or for the orphan, or for the unborn baby. The Lord will strengthen him on his bed of illness. You will sustain him or restore him on his sick bed. So the health, what health we have, the healing power that is in our bodies, it's all basically from him. And now he's going to admit his sin, which is a real strong point of David, isn't it? He was a sinner, great sinner, but he was quick to confess his sin and to recognize his sin. And so in verse 4, he says, Lord, be merciful to me, heal my soul, for I have sinned against you. I read that and I say, how much do I hate my sin? And I think the answer to that always is not nearly enough. Because when I think of the price that my Savior paid for my sin, and then I take it so casually. I mean, I look at your sin and I think, my, how could you do that? I look at my sin and I say, well, mine's not so bad. It's not as bad as that one over there, you know. And that's not the standard. The standard is Jesus, right? For I have sinned against you. You know, in another psalm we'll read, David says, against thee and thee only have I sinned, Lord. My enemies speak evil of me. Kind of hoping he'll die, in other words. When will he die and his name perish? When do we get rid of this guy? And if they come in to see me, they speak lies. They say, oh, we're so sorry you're sick, and we're so sorry you're having a big problem, and we're praying for you. At the same time, they're hoping, I hope you die, right? They speak lies. His heart gathers iniquity to itself. When he goes out, he tells it. Comes out of the visit, he says, yep, I don't think he's going to make it. I think he's about dead. Let's celebrate. He's about dead because the enemies don't want him to live, apparently. All who hate me whisper together against me. They devise against me. They devise. They strategize. They think my hurt. This an evil disease basically means a thing of the devil, a thing of Belial. He's got a thing of the devil clinging to him. Now that he lies down, he's not going to get up anymore. He's dead. He's going to die. He's never going to recover from this. He will rise up no more. And now verse 9, very famous verse in this verse, is Psalm, as you know, even my own familiar friend in whom I trusted, who ate my bread, has lifted up his heel against me. Now immediately we think of David's familiar friend, which was Ahithophel. Ahithophel was his beloved and friend and trusted advisor, a very brilliant man. But do you know who David's, or who Ahithophel's granddaughter was? Bathsheba. Oh, and it killed him. So that's the friend here that David is referring to, I think. Now, others think he's referring to Absalom. Could be. Because Absalom was his son who tried to do him in. Now, Jesus quotes this verse in the New Testament, relating it to Judas Iscariot. And you'll notice in that quote, Jesus, of course, knows the scriptures so well. In the psalm, it says, whom I trusted. He trusted in Ahithophel. Jesus doesn't say that about Judas. He doesn't say, in whom I trusted. Because he never trusted in any man, he said. He just trusted in the Lord. But here David is saying, the psalmist is saying, even my own familiar friend in whom I trusted, who ate my bread, has lifted up his heel against me. Have you been betrayed really badly by someone you're really close to, someone you really loved? I can't say I ever have been betrayed badly by someone I really loved. I mean, there's a little betrayals in a way, but I mean, nobody's free from that, I guess, totally. But I haven't had an Ahithophel that tried to do me in. So I can't really relate to that, but I know some of you can, I'm sure. So now he goes to his prayer in verse 10. But you, O Lord, be merciful to me and raise me up, where his friends had been in, saying, he's never going to get out of that bed again. He's dead. But he's saying, raise me up, Lord, that I may repay them. I'm not sure that's the prayer for the New Testament. That's David. Going to get even with those enemies of mine. And we all have that feeling, don't we? We look at the enemies of ours today that hate the Lord so much, and we want to hate what God hates, but we don't want to be necessarily praying that the Lord would wipe them out, although it's really an easy prayer for me to do that. Lord, shut their mouths. You'll wipe them out. Turn them to you, but in the meantime, shut their mouths, maybe. By this I know that you are well pleased with me, because my enemy does not triumph over me. Amen?
Amen.
Again, 1 John 4:4, he who is in us is greater than he who is in the world. Verse 12, as for me, you uphold me in my integrity. So we have some integrity to be aware of, I guess. You uphold me in my integrity and set me before your face forever. Isn't that great? You know, everything comes down to eternity, doesn't it? What's not eternal is all going to pass away and doesn't really mean very much. You can fight about it, but that's not the hill of battle you should die on temporal issues. You should be dying on the hill of eternal issues, seems to me. And set me before your face forever. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You can remember just as recently, it seems like a long time ago, it was last Sunday when we had the glorious celebration of his resurrection and the price that was paid that we can live forever. And then he closes with the doxology, blessed the Lord God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Amen and amen. Well, Father, we thank you for all of your word, and we thank you for this psalm. We thank you for knowing all things. And Lord, we just need your help, Holy Spirit, in directing us in prayer and what to pray for and how to pray. And we don't know any of this without you. Our personal thoughts are there, and our reactions are there, and from these human bodies, so to speak, in part. But Lord, lead us by your Spirit now to use these moments we have together to effectively pray, in Jesus' name. Father, we're so mindful of the need to depend on you, and our nation is turned against you. And even as Israel turned against you, they had enemies coming up on every single border. And that's where we are today. And Lord, there's too many of your churches who have not cried out. There's too many of your people that have been silent, Lord. And so, Lord, we need to turn from our wickedness, and that's given to the believers, Lord. That verse is given to the believers, I believe, primarily anyway. And we need to turn from our wicked ways. And until we do that, we cannot expect anything, really, in terms of what we can expect from you if we're obedient to you. And so I pray for that obedience to you, and that every believer would speak out and stand out in their lives, Lord, and they would not put up with evil. We're so cowered into thinking, oh, I can't judge somebody because, oh, I can't do that. Or politically, I can't say this because that's not right. Lord, what do you say? What does your word say? Help us to stand for what you say, Lord. To love, yes. Truth without love is not going to work at all. But also, love without truth is not truth. And so, Lord, help us in that. And so we're in agreement on putting a wall around us, hedging us, protecting us against the deception. And Lord, you continually give us those decisions hour by hour, day by day, really behind it all. Do you love me? Do you really love me? Do you really love me? And if we really love you, we will have to stand for your truth. We cannot do otherwise. So help us to love and to stand and to praise you, like that great doxology, you are from everlasting to everlasting, and we can always say amen and amen. Well, we have a doxology here after 41 Psalms, which reads, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. And this old hymn, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms, came to mind. So let's just close this morning by singing Leaning on the Everlasting Arms.
Peace.
Father, we thank you that your word is filled with exhortation, but it's also filled with comfort for your people. And so, Father, help us to recognize the opportunities that you put in front of us to stand for you, Lord. Bless the people here, Lord, as I know you are and you will, and may we represent you today, Lord, as you would have us to, as people would see you through us. In Jesus' name, amen.